Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, and welcome to a July episode of the Go Carterton Business Spotlight. I'm Josie Askin from Spring Coaching, and with Go Carterton, your local business association, I am very proud to bring you this radio series. The Go Carterton Business Spotlight is aimed at highlighting our incredible people and businesses within Carterton. So every month I have the honour of sitting down with one of our Go Carterton members over coffee to hear their story. We learn the why behind their business, what they do for their customers and their clients. Now, as I say, because we are sitting down over coffee, we are sitting in one of our local fantastic cafes. We're here at Wild Oats, so if you hear any background noise or if you hear the arrival of our coffees, it adds to the ambience. It can make you feel like you're here with us today. We'll also share what's coming up around our beautiful town so that you're in the know about events, activities and opportunities to get involved. So I've been really, really looking forward to this month's conversation because people like our guest today are the sort of people that have been able to keep me running. Many of you will know that I'm a long distance runner, and so I rely on the skills and the talents of our next guest to help me continue to run and reduce my injuries. So if you haven't met our wonderful guest before, I'm very happy to introduce you to Jane from Wairarapa Osteopathy. It's funny, before our episode I was saying to Jane about how I really struggle to say that word, even though I know how important they are. So Jane started Wairarapa Osteopathy about 12 years ago and has grown it into a busy local practice with 4 osteopaths and 2 admin staff. As well as running her business, Jane serves as Deputy Chair of the Osteopathic Council of New Zealand, the body responsible for regulating the osteopathic profession, and she's also an elected Carterton District Council member. Jane is a mum to 2 children, aged 12 and 14, and she's passionate about health, community and helping people thrive. So I'm very excited to have you with us today, Jane. Why don't you say hi to our listeners?
Thanks, Josie. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
Hello, everybody, and it's lovely to be here this morning, and I'm looking forward to our chat.
Fantastic, and I'm so sorry for kind of bungling up your business name. It's all, one of those words that I really struggle with.
Yeah, I think it's funny, you know, osteopathy or osteopaths, it is a little bit of a mouthful. And I feel like we're almost like one of the best kept secrets because a lot of people don't know what osteopaths are. And in some ways, the word is kind of, it's like osteo is bones. Mm. But what we actually do is we treat the whole body. So we treat the joints, we treat the muscles, we treat the fascia, we treat the connective tissue. And we have a sort of a perspective of understanding the alignment of the body. So it's about understanding the patterns of what's going on and then doing some hands-on treatment to try to make adjustments so that... Oh, here comes our coffee. Thank you so much, Crystal.
I love how they use like real chocolate on the top.
I love that. That looks beautiful. Beautiful cappuccino from Crystal just for our listeners. Yeah, so, it's... I feel like... There's not a lot of us in New Zealand. There's only, I think, about just over 600. So we're kind of a pretty small profession, but we're pretty mighty. And I feel like there's not enough osteopaths in New Zealand and all of us are really busy. Yes. But I feel like we just have a unique perspective on understanding the body and working with the body to basically help our patients get back to feeling good, functioning properly, and getting back to doing the things they love.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you explained that because I know when I first started seeing an osteopath, I had no idea what it was that they did. And it wasn't until I started to work with one, and she was incredible. She was this really tiny, petite lady that made me feel like a giant. And I'm not an overly big person, but she made me feel massive. But what she could do was incredible. And I'd always leave each session feeling like a whole new person. Like, it was painful at the time. But what she managed to do and how she could kind of work out the source of the issues rather than just treating the symptoms, it was mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's probably kind of the key. And another really common question is, what's the difference between an osteopath and a physio and a chiro?
I read my notes. I was going to ask you that question.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. and I guess... What you're talking about is kind of almost like part of the essence of osteopathy, which is that we're about, it's almost like being a detective. We're trying to figure out what's gone wrong in this body system. You know, the body's always trying to compensate and do its best to kind of function as best as it can, but it can get, you know, injury, habitual work patterns, you know, all sorts of things can cause muscle imbalance and misalignment and joint restriction. So osteopaths are trying to figure out the pattern in the whole body and how we can actually come in with some hands-on treatment to kind of work, you know, release it at the source of what's going on so that the body can actually function. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like I've been having a shoulder pain, but she started down on my ankles to check out the whole alignment. It was incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's cool that you that you've had some experience of osteopaths and yeah, it's great to just have an opportunity to kind of explain it a little bit to people and maybe get it out to more people so that people understand what we do and who we are and how we can help.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm really keen to know a little bit more about you. So what brought you to our beautiful region? Like, how long have you been there for?
So I am actually from Melbourne originally.
Okay.
So I grew up in Melbourne and I went to school there, did my, went straight out of high school into my degree. So osteopathy is a 5-year university degree. And then I worked there for a couple of years, went overseas to Europe, and then I came back and I was kind of just in that early to mid-20s.
A couple of years ago then.
Well, it was actually more than 20 years ago. And then I, to be honest, at that time in my life, I didn't overthink anything, and I just decided that I wasn't ready to go back to like normal life. And there was a job in Whangarei. And I thought I'll go and do that as a 1-year working holiday.
Yes.
That was back in 2005. And then more than 20 years later, I'm still here.
Thank
here
you,
comes
Crystal.
Your coffee, Josie.
And look, marshmallows, chocolate fish.
Nice.
It's like the full works.
Excellent.
Yeah, like
I kind of ended up in New Zealand a little bit accidentally. I met my Kiwi partner, of course, and we did go back to Melbourne for a year, but then we decided that we actually just like the vibe here. We like, you know, I think that whole Australia versus New Zealand thing is like a big question, and there's so many Kiwis that have moved to Australia. Australia's an amazing country,
yes,
and it's still my home. I'm now a dual citizen, so I became a New Zealand citizen a couple of years ago. So I feel like I've got two. Yeah, thank you. I feel like I've got two homes, but I think it's also your values, and I think for us we've just got a pretty simple life here. The kids almost have like an old-fashioned childhood. They go out on their bikes to their friend's house, they walk places, we feel safe. We've got this wonderful Carterton community. I've got my business just down the road, my partner's got his business, so we sort of chose the simpler lifestyle where maybe you don't make quite as much money, but we're just happy with what we're doing.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It sounds like you've got everything that you need and want right now.
Pretty much, kind of. I mean, there's always, I mean, you know, everyone has their challenges.
Yes.
Like it's, but I think just as a kind of, as a place to raise a family, I think Carterton is, you know, pretty nice actually.
Yeah.
Agree, it's
in beautiful.
Lots of ways. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So what made you decide to study osteo?
So, yeah, I mean, again, back, you know, when I was younger, I was just interested. I went straight out of high school, so I started when I was 18, so pretty young. I was always did well at school, and I played quite a bit of sport, did a bit of athletics and basketball, and I was interested. I was looking at different kinds of health sciences. I think, again, when I think back to early decisions, I honestly looked at lots of different health sciences, and something about it appealed to me. I think it was maybe the fact that we get to spend time with our patients, we get to kind of walk with people through their journey back into health. And I think there's other really amazing health professions, but for example, being a GP would be really challenging. You've only got 15 minutes with your patient. There's all sorts of like kind of external systemic pressures, where I think being allied health, which kind of is, it's sort of, I like to think of it almost as we're in the health system, but we're almost adjacent to that kind of primary health, so we're allied health. So what that does is it actually gives us a lot of freedom. It means that we can kind of set our own appointment times, we can see our patients, create a treatment plan so that we can work with people. And I think that, there was just something about it that appealed to me, and it's been a really great career, and I still love it more than 20 years later.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What do you love most about it?
I think it's really the relationships with the patients. I think it's seeing people go from in pain and restriction and then help walking with them back on that journey back to freedom of movement and reduction of pain and getting back to what they like. I feel like this is a really overused word, but I like the holistic nature of it. I like the way that we are able to it's musculoskeletal, and like I said, it's a university degree. We do all of the anatomy, physiology, so I feel like it's really based in the science. But we also it's a very broad scope where we're able to really look at people as a whole. So that's their workplace, that's their environment, that's even, stress levels, that's, that can even be, emotional kind of things that can create patterns in the body. So I really like the fact that osteopathy kind of, it sort of sits in between a really broad range, paradigm range, I guess. So we really, it's like science-based, anatomy-based, but we can actually work with people in a lot of different ways. Because essentially it's actually just about supporting someone's own health mechanism to actually get them their own body to heal itself, basically. Yes. That's part of the philosophy, again. And it's,
I love that idea.
Yeah.
Having someone help heal themselves.
Yeah, that's actually one of the core parts of how we see things. And what that means is that I might be working with my patient doing hands-on work, but I'm actually just trying to unblock restriction and areas and misalignment so that their body can actually it can heal itself, basically. And that's again, that's a kind of when you think about it, you hurt yourself and you heal, or you sprain your ankle and you do, we're all probably familiar with that idea that there's a self-healing mechanism that the body has, and osteopaths really try to tap into that and work with that to get people to heal, essentially.
The body's pretty amazing.
The body is amazing.
Yeah.
Very amazing, absolutely.
It is.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
We both have coffees here, so I don't want them to get cold. So let's pause for a song break.
Sure.
And we'll catch up again in a moment.
Thank you.
So our first song is It's Tricky by Run DMC.
This beat is my recital. I think it's very vital. To rock around, that's right, on top. It's tricky, here we go. It's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time, it's tricky. It's tricky, 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 tricky. It's tricky to rock around, that's right, on time, it's tricky. Tricky, tricky, tricky. I met this little girly, her hair was kinda curly. Went to her house and bust her out, I had to leave real early. These girls are really sleazy, all they just say is please me. Or spend some time and rock around, I said it's not that easy. It's tricky to rock around, that's right, on time, it's tricky. Windows don't mean nothing, they know who's inside.
Welcome back. So that was It's Tricky by Run DMC, and I think that's the ultimate earworm. When I found out what songs we were going to be playing during this week's episode, I was like, classics, really great kind of old school rap, sort of songs that get stuck in your head forever and ever and ever. So good choice, Jane.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a sucker for like old school 80s and 90s rap, I
must say. Best decade.
It's kind of
the best decade.
Yeah, kind of my like secret thing. Yeah.
I'm down with that. That's
okay,
good.
Yeah. Cool.
So I'm really keen to hear more about what you do, because we were saying during the break that I'm fascinated by the different businesses that we have in our town and just the skill and the passion behind the people. So
can you talk
a little bit about the difference between an osteo and a physio. What's probably the biggest misconception out there about what you do?
Yeah, I think going back to our earlier comments about the name osteopathy or osteopath, I think that one of the misconceptions is it's just about bones. I think that osteo is almost like almost like a bit of a misnomer, because it's not just about bones.
It's like
the whole
osteoporosis and things
like
that.
That's
where people's brains go.
Yes, so it's I think that definitely it's not just bones, it's all of the body tissues. So we use a really big range of techniques, actually. So it's hands-on techniques, but we also do offer exercise rehab advice. We do give stretching programs, so at home stuff for people to do, but there's also hands-on treatment, which can be like muscle release techniques, massage techniques, different ways of stretching, different ways of gently adjusting alignment and joints. There's more manipulative techniques, so we're kind of again with just how broad, in a way, osteopathy is, and how the kind of breadth of kind of what it encompasses. Different osteopaths will work a little bit differently, because there's more what we'd call structural techniques, which are more maybe kind of manipulative, but then a lot of osteopaths might like to use a more gentle style of treatment, which we'd call more functional techniques. So yeah, it's you can get quite a big range of practitioners, and I guess we just end up taking what we like and what works for us and developing our own style, and then you end up with with patients that resonate with that. And so I think there's that we end up basically, we're all really busy in our practice, but we work with a whole range of other practitioners, and we like to think of it like putting the patient at the centre of that process. So we have other allied health professionals we refer to. We're also trained to, we do our university training, and it's 4 or 5 year degree. So, for example, if someone comes in with back pain and we might identify some red flags or some things that we're concerned about, we'll write a letter and send them back to the GP. Likewise, we get referrals from GPs, we get referrals from midwives, other practitioners around, lot of word of mouth. So, I like to think of it as really just working with that patient and just making sure that they're seeing the right people at the right time, and that's not always us. And I think if we can all work together within our broad health system, that's only going to be helpful to the people we're there for, which is actually our patients. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I know you mentioned that you have a very kind of client-centred approach.
Yeah.
Do you have a particular specialty or a sort of person that you most like working with? Of course, you like working with everyone, but is there a particular area that you enjoy the most?
As in different clients
so I know that some osteos and physios like working with athletes, some prefer working with young children, that sort of thing.
I see a really broad range of patients. I do actually see, and I have an interest in treating like pediatrics, so babies and children. I do work with pregnant women as well, but I also see the whole range across the lifespan. So I feel like I have a pretty general practice, and I enjoy working with all age groups, but we've got other practitioners. So Andre Kaleza, who's one of our other registered osteopaths, he has more of an interest in athletes and sporting injuries. Mm. So Andre's very good with that, very good with his exercise rehab. We've got Rebecca Hancock, who's another registered osteopath. She actually has an interest in visceral osteopathy, which is a whole other kind of track that she's gone down, which is actually treating the body as a whole but incorporating some work on the abdomen and fascia around the abdomen. Oh. So she's got an interest in that. We've got David Good as well. So he's our other registered osteopath. And he again has he's probably more of a generalist as well. So we have like a kind of a range of people within our practice, and occasionally we might refer to each other. Like occasionally, if I think a patient needs a bit more sort of exercise rehab, really targeted advice, I might send them to Andre or
So they have a really comprehensive team, like covering almost all specialties.
Which is really lovely actually. Yeah. And we all work together under that umbrella of wider upper osteopathy. But essentially, it is quite an independent job. Like you're in your treatment room with your patient. So we try to get together. We've actually got a team meeting later today. So we try to get together and just do some like professional development and case discussion and kind of connect once a fortnight. Today for our team meeting, we actually got, so our location is at a place called The Core, which is, so at the back is the Strength Nation gym, and at the front there's the professional rooms. So we've actually got one of the trainers from the Strength Nation gym coming in today with us. So that's just kind of that sort of, again, that sort of patient-centred, I guess it's networking, but it's also talking about how can we work together, because sometimes patients want to, go and do a gym program. Mm. And we're going to collaborate with Sonia from Strength and Nation Gym at lunchtime
today.
She's lovely. Yeah.
Oh, it's such a good spot there as well. And
it is
so
a great
close
spot.
And handy and good parking.
It is a good spot. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yeah.
So what's the biggest challenge then in what you do? Because what you're describing sounds pretty amazing so far.
Yeah. What's the biggest challenge? I think that, again, I'll just talk for me personally. I think it can be quite intense. And what I mean by that is it is amazing. But I think working one-on-one with people like that, and really working to that level with people does require a lot of energy, and it it does require you to be very switched on all the time. So that's and because I've been an osteopath, like I said, I graduated in 2003, so I've actually been a registered osteopath for 23 years. So that's a long time now, and so that's kind of been a little bit. Partly why I work part-time now, so I don't see patients 5 days a week. I used to, but I find that just balancing being a good mum and all of the house stuff I need to do, and then I'm now on the Carterton Council.
I was going to say, it's one of the toughest jobs out there. So thank you so much for being one of our elected members. I know what a tough gig that is. It's like it's a 24/7 job.
Yeah.
So you're doing that.
Yeah.
Plus having your own business, plus being a mum, plus everything else. It's a lot.
It is a lot. And I think for the most part, it works well. I mean, we all have our days or our weeks that it goes a bit pear-shaped, absolutely. But I think I have really enjoyed, just cutting down a little bit on the hands-on and having that team around me who do such a great job. And then I'll also give a shout-out to our practice manager, Bernie. If anyone's ever been into our reception area, you've probably seen Bernie, who's just a really amazing human. And I couldn't actually do pretty much anything that I do without her. So she, I've got a really good team, but Bernie is really does such a great job and with managing the practice. So, it's been really interesting to get the business to a point where it kind of can operate almost like a separate entity, I guess, and I don't have to be there every day. And what that's done is it's created a level of freedom where I've been able to take on some of these different roles that, and sort of like some interests that are kind of related but are a little bit different. So that's been really, really fun to kind of broaden out into some of this governance roles that I've done over the last couple of years, and that's just been a whole new learning curve for me.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about your role. It must be quite demanding in so many different ways, like physically demanding with the hands-on stuff.
Yeah.
Also cognitively demanding. You have to know what you're doing and be thinking. And the emotional demand as well. Like I imagine a lot of times when people come to see you, it's because they're in pain. And when people are in pain, it's a distressed state. So you must carry a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I guess that is, that is one of the challenges, absolutely. Yeah. So, years ago I did work 4 or 5 days a week, and it was really tiring. So I feel lucky that I've got a more of a balance now, and doing the kind of 2 to 3 days hands-on with my patients, that's actually perfect for me. And then I can actually have time to, to kind of process all of those things that you're talking about, which absolutely, that is a thing, absolutely. Yeah. Working with people at that level and, cognitively, physically and emotionally, that's for sure is a challenge. Yeah.
And I imagine every single client that you see is different and they'll have different problems. Is there kind of a client that stands out in your mind, and obviously keep it anonymous, still gives you warm fuzzies today when you think about the progress that they made, like a real success story that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think there's a lot. I think what's coming to mind, I'm thinking actually about some of the babies that I see, and how a really, how the birth process can be quite difficult physically, both for the mum and the baby, and certainly some, there's some births that are quite hard. And I'm just thinking, just over the last week or so, some of those warm fuzzies or those success. And I'm thinking of a couple of babies I've seen this week, and how just with some really simple, very gentle hands-on treatment, such a difference can be made. So that baby, I'm thinking of one, can go from very unsettled, crying all the time, not feeding well, colic and reflux, and then not always, because obviously, I'm not saying this is like a magic cure-all for every unsettled baby, and there can certainly be multiple factors that can be going on. And again, we're always very mindful of doing really good assessment and making sure that if there needs to be a referral, we absolutely do that. But in the cases where the physical birth strain is the primary factor that's driving that, sometimes with some very gentle hands-on treatment, we can help unwind and release that, and that can make a difference for that baby and that whole family.
I was going to say, the parents must love you. Like a restful night's sleep.
Yeah, so, just and seeing even for the mum, like mums can, not getting sleep and kind of dealing with an unsettled child is actually really, really tough. And for the whole family. So that's just one that's coming to mind just from the last few days, actually. But again, that's sort of one part of our practice. It could be, again, thinking about supporting a school-age child through an ankle injury and getting them back to running and their sport. That's cool. Even something like acute lower back pain, like somebody coming in and absolutely in agony, and it can be something really simple like a strained lumbar facet joint. It can be muscle spasm. Again, it can be, there's a range of things it can be, and we can help when it is that musculoskeletal issue. Sometimes we can't help, but just helping people get out of, really quite intense pain, and when it's something quite simple, that's always really cool, being able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So in a moment, I want to talk more about your role as one of our elected members.
Sure.
But before we go there, let's have another break.
Okay.
Have some more of your beautiful coffee. I don't want it to get cold.
Okay.
And we'll have our next song. I apologise again, I do not have a good gangster voice, so you have to bear with me. But our next song is Nothing But a G-Thang by Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Cool.
One, two. Bringing to the folk, Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dope. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up, cause you know we're about to rip it up. Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G-Thang, baby. Too low depth, throw it crazy. Death Row is the label that pays me. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake it. But back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfected, so I'ma let them understand. From a young G's perspective, and before me dig out a bitch, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning her man and learning her man, and at the same time burning her man. Now you know I ain't with that lieutenant. Ain't no good enough to get burned while I'm offended. And that's realer than real deal holy feel. And now you know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get broke off a proper chunk, I take a small piece of some of that funky stuff. It's like this and like that and like this, Santa. It's like that and like this and like that, Anna. It's like this and like that and like this, Santa. Drake creep to the mic like a fan.
Well, I'm peeping and I'm creeping and I'm creeping, but I think I caught, cause my beeper kept beeping. Now it's time for me to make my impression felt. So sit back, relax, and strap on your seatbelt. You've never been on a ride like this before. With a producer who can rap and control the maestro at the same time with the dope rhyme that I kick. You know and I know I flow some old funky. To add to my collection, this selection symbolizes dope. Take a tote, but don't choke. If you do, you have no clue of what me and my homie Snoop Dogg came to do.
It's like this and like that and like this, and it's like that and like this and like that, and it's like this.
And who gives a f*** about those?
So just chill to the next episode. What a hell of a gangster lean. Getting funky on the mic like an old batch of collard greens. It's the capital S-O-S, I'm fresh and double O-P. D-O-double-G-Y-D-O-double-G, you see. Showing much flex when it's time to wreck a mic. Pimpin' and clockin' a grip like my name was Dolomite. Yeah, and it don't quit. I think they in the mood for some... So Drake,
what up, dog?
Gotta give them what they want.
What's that, G?
We gotta break them off something.
Yeah.
And it's gotta be bumpin', City of Compton,
where it takes place, so we'll not show attention. Mobbin' like a but I ain't lynching. Dropping a pokey that's making a sucker niggas mumble. When I'm on the mic, it's like a cookie, they all crumble. Try to get close and your ass gets smacked. My f***ing homie Doggy Dogg has got my back. Never let me slip, cause if I slip, then I'm slipping. But if I got my Nina, then you know I'm straight tripping. And I'ma continue to put the rap down, put the Mac down. And if you talk, I have to put the smack down, yeah, and you don't stop. I told you I'm just like a clock when I tick and I talk. But I'm never off, always on till the break of dawn. See you when PTO win in the city they call Long Beach. Putting the together like my DOC. No one can do it better
like this, that, and this, and it's like that, and like this, and like that, and it's like this.
Then who gives a f*** about those?
So just chill till the next episode.
Welcome back. So, as I said before the break, I'm really keen, if you're up to it, to talk more about your role as one of our counsellors. So, what inspired you to put your hand up and stand? Because, as I said, it's a really demanding, complex job.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about that story.
Okay. So probably my first governance role was that I got appointed to the Osteopathic Council of New Zealand, so yes. A regulatory... government regulatory authority back in 2023, I think it was. So that was kind of my first governance experience, and I was very green. I'd never done anything like that before, and I just found it really interesting. And actually, going back to the osteopathy, or my profession, and going back to that kind of concept of understanding the patterns of alignment and the patterns of the whole, what that actually has done for me over many years of practice, it's like given me this kind of framework that you can almost apply to not just bodies but organisations, or I guess
I was hoping you're going to say that. Thinking about the connection between the two, like the high level strategy, Dan.
And I think when I was just being a part of that Osteo Council Governance Board, I just found it really interesting, like being in meetings and kind of as you're saying, that strategy governance, and kind of like it was. I found it was like, it was a way of using that kind of that kind of seeing the patterns or the like that sort of alignment kind of concept, but like applying it to organisations or different things. So I just really enjoyed that, and it actually inspired me to start a little bit more study.
Okay.
So I started studying a Master's of Public Policy at Victoria University, just really, really slowly, one paper at a time. And I'm partway through that, and I'm actually on hold with that at the moment because this year being running my business, being a Carterton counsellor and being on the Osteo Board and being a mum and everything, I thought I'll just give the study a little bit of a break.
You can only do so much.
So I do want to get back to that. So I kind of started with Osteo Council, went on to do some of that public policy study, which I found really interesting. And then I saw that the Carterton, or the council local government elections were coming up. And I just kind of thought that'd be a really interesting way of getting a bit more experience in that governance space, getting more connected with the community, and, you know, just kind of, I guess, trying to help support make good decisions for our Carterton community. So there was kind of, it was partly wanting to do that for the community, but also being interested and wanting to get more experience in that space myself.
And I know it's a time of great change, particularly in local government. There's just been so many local government reforms and things like that happening. What's been the biggest surprise that you've had since, you know, stepping up and being a councillor?
Yeah, I think so the big thing that's going on at the moment is amalgamation. So there is, at the moment, or last night, there was actually a public meeting at the event centre, and there's another one tonight at the Gladstone pub. So for anyone in our Carterton community who wants to come along, the mayor will be there. I'm going to be there, and some other councillors, and we're going to, it's basically just an opportunity for the community to come and learn a bit more about where we're at in that amalgamation process. And we're also really wanting to get a bit of consultation and feeding back from the community to help inform our decisions. But yeah, I think it's, in terms of your question, that that kind of where we're at the moment feels like a pretty big challenge right now, because
it's massive. There's so much uncertainty in trying to do like long-term plans for the upcoming 2027 long-term plan.
And there's a whole, it's not just the simplifying local government bill, which is the amalgamation question. There's also a huge amount of, there's big changes in the RMA, the Resource Management Act. So that's changing as well. So there's actually changes in a whole range of legislation. And a lot of it hasn't been, there's a lot of uncertainty, and to be honest, we don't know how that's all going to play out right now. The government doesn't either. So again, going back to that idea of really wanting to steer our Carterton community through this change. I think our elected members and our mayor and deputy mayor are absolutely taking it all really seriously, and we're all trying to look at all of it and try to understand it so that we can make really good decisions for our community. That's what the focus is at the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you love most about being a councillor then? I mean, I know you've talked about working for the community and all of that.
I've actually really enjoyed it. Like, I enjoy the meetings. I enjoy the discussion. I enjoy the challenge, and I do feel a lot more connected to the community than I did. I like talking to people in the community. I think even though I'm not from here, like I've been in Carterton since end of 2013, and as I said, I'm Australian, New Zealand, but I feel really at home here, and I actually really love Carterton, so I really like just that kind of connection and trying to, just the work for the community.
And it's very visible as well, I think, when you work for local government. You can actually see what you're doing, making a difference, and the community is not quite as removed as, say, maybe central government.
Yeah, I think so. And that's kind of the whole, that a little bit feeds into the amalgamation question, because it's kind of localism versus centralisation. There's kind of pros and cons on both. And the government wants centralisation, which there's potential for maybe some efficiencies, or working together more as a region and having a stronger regional voice. There's definitely some potential positives for that amalgamation question, centralisation. But I think we also just have to be careful that we don't lose the localism. So what I mean by that is the local voice, what makes Carterton special, our unique characteristics. So I think there's a balance there where we need to make sure that those things are maintained.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about and a lot to consider.
Okay,
a very complex role. Usually I like to ask my guests what their typical day is like, and they're much into habits and routines, but I get the impression that no day is the same for you. So instead, let me ask you, if you're not working as an OSCEO and if you're not working as an elected member, what do you do on your day off?
Yeah, I try to have Fridays as a kind of more flexible day. I don't really like to call it a day off, because the fact is, like, it's like paperwork and different bits, but I like to have that as a quieter day. I do like to do a little bit of yoga, so I do a little bit of yoga at home. I just did a lovely winter solstice yoga session with Yoga with Em
amazing
on Sunday. Yes. So that was really lovely.
I enjoy her classes too.
Do you? Yeah, awesome. But I think I like pottering around the house, I'm a pretty simple person in lots of ways, but a bit of yoga. I like to have a nap sometimes on my day off. That's a little bit of a guilty pleasure as well sometimes.
That sounds amazing.
We all just get to, life is busy, and sometimes sometimes when I get tired, I'll just have a little
nap. I don't think there's anything better, especially when it gets cold.
I know. How good is it, like, snuggle up and you're just like, num, num, num. So,
With, like, your big fluffy socks.
Exactly.
On your blanket.
Yeah.
Sounds quite bliss.
So, I'm pretty, that's not sounding very exciting, is it? I have a nap, but, that's what I like to do with my time.
Kind of matches our conversation before we started talking about bedtimes and
things
like that.
Exactly.
I know, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So before we start to wrap up the interview, mm-hmm. is there anything that you'd like to share with our listeners that we may not have covered already? Like, I don't know, some secrets about being an OSCEO, or some hidden talent or party trick, or anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I think what, yeah, I just, going back to the local government and the amalgamation stuff, I just mentioned that there is a community survey open at the moment, and I think it would be, if anyone's interested, we're definitely really interested in getting as much feedback from our community as we can, which can inform our decisions. So on the Carterton District Council website, community survey, like I said, there's a drop-in session tonight at the Gladstone Inn at 6:30.
They do really good fries.
Yeah.
like big chunky fries.
Yes, I might have to get a bowl, yeah. there's that as well. Also, some positive things where we've got a new economic development committee for that the Carterton Council has put together. So there's going to be, hopefully, with some community members as well, and I'm on that committee.
Right.
So, yeah, again, just linking all of the different, and going back to Go Carterton as well. Mm. So the council is, and it's actually got a bit of a budget. We're going to look at what we can do or how we can facilitate tidying up High Street a little bit, which should be really cool. We're just looking at economic development as a whole for Carterton. We're also looking at the Wainawa Industrial Estate and how we can kind of grow that industrial area a little bit. So those are the three goals. So for Go Carterton, there's a little bit happening in that economic development space.
It's a really exciting time, actually.
Yeah.
We're definitely making our town even better than
exactly.
It is.
Making our town even better, exactly. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And so if we have a listener at home at the moment who may be having like the odd niggle or thinks that they could benefit from your services, what's the best way for them to reach out and get in contact with you to book an appointment?
Yeah. So you can go onto our website, wideapperosteopathy.nz. And you can book online. You can call our lovely practice manager, Administrator Bernie, on 021-024-20134, and she can book you an appointment. Or you can flick us an email at info@wideapperosteopathy.nz.
Perfect. And we'll put all those details on the program page as well, just in case someone didn't have a pin when you were reading out the phone number there.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jane.
Yeah.
So, Cecile, a big thank you to our wonderful guest. So now, if you're listening at home and you want to know more about Go Carterton, please check out the March episode. During that episode, we talk about all the different benefits of being a Go Carterton member, one of them being the possibility of being one of our guests here on the Business Spotlight. And, of course, we also have our Business Connect. So we meet about once a month on a Friday. Usually we meet at the Carterton Courthouse. Last month we met at Aunt Ginger's. We had such a fantastic turnout. We had about 20 people come along. So if you're keen to meet some other local business owners, please come along to our next Business Connect, which is on the 24th of July. It's on a Friday at 9 a.m. at the Carterton Courthouse. But I'll close here. So thank you so much, listeners, for listening. It's Josie Essing from Spring Coaching, and we hope to catch up next month.